Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hi, welcome to Rediscover. I am Alyssa Bormis, your guest host for the day. I'm so happy to be here with you again. And today we have a special themed show for the March for Life for 2017 and some great guests. Now, just to introduce myself, I'm a teacher at the Chesterton Academy, an author, speaker. You might have read my book, The Catechism of Hockey. If you haven't, you should get it. Anyway, we are. I want to say this about the show as we begin for the March for Life for 2017. This has a really special place in my heart, and I'm so grateful they asked me to be the guest host today. I speak with Silent No More, Minnesota. I'm a mother of two aborted children, and this is incredible. The work that's being done in the pro-life world is incredible and monumental to me in particular. All right, now while we get choked up, let me see if I can introduce our first guest. Her name is Hannah Hochman. Hannah, are you there? No, Hannah's not with us quite yet. Sorry. Anyway, we're going to speak with Hannah Hochman. She is a young woman who has just been on fire and done all sorts of things as a young girl, even in public schools for pro-life. And then later in the show, we're going to speak with Bill Dill and Pat Millay. Bill Dill is the youth minister event coordinator in the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. And Pat Millay is a Catholic youth minister, as well as, a host of other things, music, great talent with youth, but pro-life leaders. So first, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Hannah Hochman.
At this time of year, there are so many good reasons to celebrate. Families, companies, and clubs have enjoyed Old Mexico Restaurant and Cantina in Roseville since 1979. The tradition of gathering around delicious food in a festive location is just what Old Mexico provides. Kids and adults enjoy the authentic flavors of Mexico and the great service. Family-owned, sons Frank and John are faithful Relevant Radio listeners. They invite you to come in this week for a delicious and fresh Mexican lunch or dinner. Mention this ad and receive a free chili con queso or guacamole appetizer with the purchase of an entree. Celebrate the new year at a place where everyone is welcome and comfortable. Private party rooms available and also a full catering menu. Reservations are accepted for Old Mexico at Lexington and Larpentour Avenue in Roseville. Call 651-487-2847. Visit their website at olmexico.com. What a great time of year to enjoy Old Mexico, just 5 minutes south of Highway 36 on Lexington Avenue.
Hi, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm your guest host today, Alyssa Bormis, and we're having a great themed show for the March for Life this year, 2017. We have a great guest on. She is the Champion for Life Award winner of the youth and young adult category. Her name is Hannah Hochman, and I think you're just going to find that she's on fire. Hannah, welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you today? Oh, I'm good.
Great. Well, I was telling the audience that you have won the 2016 Champions for Life Award, and you were a young adult in the young adult category, but that you've been doing this pro-life work throughout high school. And how did you just get on fire for life?
Well, my first experience with this movement started when I went on my first March for Life trip. It was absolutely amazing, and it really helped me not only in my faith life, but it helped me to realize that there's people out there who aren't treated like humans, and it's our most important right, is our right to life, because it values our dignity as a human person, our intrinsic dignity being made in God's image and likeness.
That first trip, were you the one who said, yeah, I really want to go on this trip for the March for Life to D.C.? Or did your parents just sort of say, hey, here's a neat thing for you to do? What was your idea before you got on the bus to D.C.?
You know, I'm not going to lie. When I went on the trip, I found out about it, and I was just very excited to go to D.C., not about the March for Life itself.
Well, you know, the Holy Spirit works in a million different ways, and one of them is to make a young girl want to go to the city she's been interested in, and then he sneaks in the surprise of giving you a mission. When you were there, you saw the city you love, but what happened at the march or on the bus or coming back that really deepened this love for you?
You know, I had grown up in a Catholic household, but I never really knew that much about abortion. I mean, I was taught that we're all human people with this intrinsic dignity, but beyond that, I'd never seen graphic images. I'd never seen or heard about just how awful this is and how many human beings full of potential are just killed in abortions every day. So really just learning these facts just made me on fire for this movement, because I knew there was an injustice out there, and I knew that I had to help. Because to let people who are more helpless than me, who are weaker, just be killed, that's awful. I had to do something about it.
Well, this is what I love, is that you're a young woman, and often our youth think, well, what can I do? But you came home and did. And so tell us about what you did, especially with the pro-life group at your high school.
Well, the pro-life group at my high school wasn't officially brought into existence until my senior year. And before that, right when I got back, I got one of the forms to fill out so that I could start a club. But after that, it really was a struggle with changing people's hearts. You can make abortion illegal, but having abortion illegal does nothing unless you change people's hearts, too, to welcome the idea that that being in the womb is a person. So what I started out doing was just providing facts. During my history classes, we'd do news of the day, and I would always offer pro-life news about what was happening. At that time, during my ninth grade year, it was a very big deal with Kermit Gosnell.
Yes.
And it was just an awful thing that no large media was reporting on. So I brought it upon myself to tell people in my history class what was going on and how abortion wasn't actually safe, legal, and rare. It started out small, just small things every day.
And you were doing this in a public high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it as well, is we maybe think, well, at a Catholic high school, of course you can do this, but that you were able to begin in this very small way right in your public high school. What happened with the other students and your teachers, especially the first few days that you're in your history class giving the news for the day and it's pro-life news?
Well, it was, you could tell that some people were uncomfortable. People don't want to talk about abortion. Mm-hmm. They kind of sweep it under the rug. They say safe, legal, and rare, and that's the rug that they sweep all of abortion underneath, because people just don't talk about it. And just bringing up a conversation, as uncomfortable as it might seem at first, is the most important step to bring about a change in your high school. So you just have to drive through that. So even though people seem uncomfortable and that people might not like you for the things that you do,
I think
because
that
they don't like you doesn't mean you shouldn't do it.
I just want every young youth, young kid thinking that this idea of you not being worried about your popularity, but that you're worried about children. And I'm guessing that your prayer life at this time is maybe increasing as well. I'm just taking a stab in the dark here, and that might have been also what got you through this.
Definitely. I mean, I hadn't really been going to daily mass or participating in the mass, and then going on this trip and facing adversity afterwards, I knew that I had to have a stronger faith life because I would be nothing without God behind me, because it's so much to take on. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot to take on to be there in a public high school and to have people cast glances at you, just knowing that people are uncomfortable with what you're talking about, might even strongly disagree and despise what you're talking about. You need that faith life. And so the March for Life itself is a huge part of my testimony and what brought me back to the Catholic faith when I was very disinterested. Without it, I don't know how my faith life would be now.
Well, I love that. I didn't know this part of your story, that you were becoming disinterested in the faith and that you just got on a bus to go to a city you wanted to go to. I think that's marvelous. And the Holy Spirit finding this beautiful mission, finding your heart in all of this, and then saying, come home, come all the way home to the church that you already belong to. Come in the doors, get in the pew, you know. And then the other thing the Holy Spirit says is, once you're home, now go out and get more souls. Did you find yourself, as the years went by, because you're a freshman at this time and you said your club became an official club of the high school when you were a senior, did you find the changing hearts? Did you have people come to you to say, you know, I never thought of it this way before?
Unfortunately, I didn't see much of the fruits of my work until my senior year. As far as hearts changed, but really talking about it, either even though it elicited a lot of people who didn't like me anymore, I lost a lot of friends, a lot of people who I thought were close to me and wouldn't leave me just because of my views on life and on what many people view as a hot political topic. But then just because you open up about it, it helps other people open up too, people who are too afraid to talk. People who thought that they would be cast down too, who thought that they would lose friends, who thought that talking about something that was unpopular would make them unpopular and make and take away what they had already built at their high school. And that fear, it drives people to stay in the dark. When you open up, you bring people out to the light. When you shed light, you bring light. And that's the most important part, is not hiding your light under the basket. You have to let it shine, to be cliche.
I just want to tell you this. You might not have been on the line before at the very beginning of the show, and so you might not know this about me, but it ties in with fear, of what you're saying about fear. I was telling the audience that I have two aborted children, and that I speak with Silent No More in Minnesota. And in the other, I spoke actually at the Champions for Life award banquet a few years ago. And one of the things a friend told me is that people get to the abortion clinic in a number of different ways, by a car, by walking, by a bus, but that fear drives them. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge thing that you're saying. There's the fear of the woman going to the clinic. That fear has driven her there, the fear of now what's going to happen to me. But that on the other side of this, the fear of the hearts of people thinking, well, I don't want to be thought poorly of because I have an opinion, so I'll just keep it quiet. And I think the world needs people like you to give strength. You're a strength giver. And so when you left the high school, is the club still alive? Have you sort of left a legacy of this club? Do you know?
I know that I've kept in contact with these people that I did a senior project, which is a little project that you do as a senior to bring about awareness to something in your community that you'd like to change. Wow. So I did a senior project with a couple of my peers, and they showed great interest, and then they really helped me along, and I put them in charge of the club, and I know that they're doing their very best to keep it alive and well, And but that's hard. It's hard to do with schoolwork. It's hard to do with friendships. It's hard to do just in general.
Did you have a resistance from teachers at all, or any of the administration, or were they sort of, well, there's her club and away she goes?
I'm afraid that there was a fair amount of resistance in creating this, but mostly in my senior project was where I encountered the most resistance.
But you did it. This is the amazing thing. Let's talk about your life now. You're at Benedictine University in, tell me where it is, in Kansas, right?
Atchison, Kansas, yes.
There you go, Atchison. And what is your, what's going on in college? What are you doing in the pro-life work there now?
Well, I'm involved in their Ravens Respect Life Club, which was brought about, I've heard, by Bishop Cousins.
We love Bishop Cousins.
Very great legacy.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to make my influence here in this pro-life club. They have side block counseling and prayer trips to the abortion clinic, the Planned Parenthood in Overland Park in Kansas City. So I do my best to make it out there as often as I can, because one of the most important things is to love them both, really.
Amen.
You have to honestly love both the woman and the child she's bearing. People talk so much about just the child, but there's two people.
Mm-hmm.
And every time an abortion occurs, two people are hurt.
I can just say this, as I especially remember this the first time I went, the people praying across the street. And even though I was, I think I either yelled or made a gesture that was not, you know, charitable, I never could unsee them. And they were a part of what brought me home. And that they were always there in my memory of, even though I wasn't one of their miracles in a certain sense of saving the baby, but later I was one of their miracles because they were a part of who brought me home. And so I can imagine that often it's disheartening, and maybe people don't go to pray in front of the clinic because you don't see any immediate results. But what can you tell people about the work of praying in front of a clinic? And then in a second, I want to talk to you about the sidewalk counseling as well.
Well, I think that the most important thing about praying outside of an abortion clinic is just holding silent witness, like being there, just being present. Mm-hmm. It shows people who drive by. It shows the women who go in that you're not there. You're not one of those protesters who's bearing signs, shouting. I've seen them.
Right.
And I honestly think that that's one of the most detrimental things to our cause, is those people who stand outside the clinics waving signs and shouting at these poor women, because I feel they just need love. You have to love them. And you can do that by prayer. You pray for them. You pray for those women going in. You pray for the husbands affected, the grandparents of the child. You pray for all the people involved. Just showing, you aren't talking to them in prayer. Not physically talking to them.
Right.
But you're loving their soul.
Amen. And now we only have a couple of minutes left, you and I. And so have you seen miracles in your sidewalk counseling part of it as well, where you're actually talking to the women or maybe the men who have taken them there?
I have not, but I know many incredible people who have, and I'm still young, and I hope that someday, maybe, there'll be some effect that I can physically touch, just a small child that, or a woman who comes to me, or a father. But for now, you just have to stay enthusiastic about this, even though it's hard. You have to go through all the tough times, and that's one of the most important things about the pro-life cause, is that's hope.
Amen. That's exactly it. And now, I know Benedictine always sends a big contingency to the March for Life. Are you going again this year?
Yes, I am, and I'm so excited.
Oh, that's great. Hopefully there won't be a snowstorm this year, although last year it did. It was quite a thing of attention from the media, but hopefully you won't get snowed in this year.
Yes. God brings about little measles in many ways, and a snowstorm was pretty effective in bringing media to the March for Life.
It's one of the great things that happened last year is that monster snowstorm. Well, I'm so grateful. I cannot tell you how grateful I am in particular for the work that you do. And as a mother of these children, keep going. You are having an effect. And even though you haven't seen the miracle yet, the miracles are happening. And there's some mother today who can't unsee you in prayer, and you're there as her sister praying right next to her, and she's on her way home. I guarantee that's it. So thank you. And we've been speaking with, oh my gosh, I'm all choked up. Hannah Hockman. I was going to say Sarah, but you're Hannah Hockman. And yeah. You are the 2016 Champion of Life Award winner for the youth and young adult and group. And you have had quite an effect. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
We will be right back with the Rediscover Hour.
When Jesus is calling you, you've got that, is this for sure? Is that you? To understand what to pay attention to. Does that make sense?
It makes all the sense in the world, John.
Father Albert.
You're raising the issue of discernment. How do I know if this feeling that I have is really of God, or if it's just of myself, or even worse, is it of the devil? And how do I know how I'm supposed to respond if this is a call from God? That's what the spiritual tradition calls discerning God's will. In my opinion, that is the road to holiness. To first of all, be aware of God's call, then to respond to it, then thirdly, to discover the obstacles that are hindering me from responding to that call wholeheartedly. Because that's really what holiness is all about.
Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day. Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
Say a prayer, say a prayer in the night. Say a prayer.
Hi, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Alyssa Bormis, your guest host. We are having a great hour today. We're talking about the March for Life 2017, and I have some fantastic guests with me now. I have Bill Dill and Pat Millay. Bill and Pat, welcome.
Hello.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Bill Dill is the Youth Minister Event Coordinator in the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. Do you have that printed on a t-shirt or anything? I mean, that take up the whole
back. Two t-shirts.
It's two t-shirts. You need someone next to you to get your whole title on. That's fantastic. You're with the Archdiocese here, and you have always been a champion of life and have a big pro-life contingency going to the March for Life. But let me introduce Pat Millay as well. Pat, you are a youth minister at St. Michael in Prior Lake.
Exactly,
right?
Yep.
And people know you. You're a speaker. Your music is great. You're wildly just successful and great with these kids.
And I wear the second t-shirt for Bill's title, too, which is the most important job of mine. Yeah.
Yeah. And if only I could one day wear that second t-shirt, that would be great. Well, we were talking before the show about that you're taking another bunch of kids to the March for Life this year. But we wanted to talk a little bit about last year. That was something a little different, wasn't it?
It was. Once in a lifetime, hopefully.
Unique, yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, you don't want to be stuck on a bus for 48 hours again?
Preferably not.
All right, one of you, Bill or Pat, are joining together here, is to tell us what happened last year, and then I want to talk about the miracles that came out of it.
Well, we we knew going into the march last year that the weather was going to be spotty, and there was this, I forget the name for it, they name all these blizzards now, but there was a winter storm, Snowmageddon, whatever it was, bearing down on the East Coast, and we knew going into it that it was probably going to affect some version of our plans for coming home.
But they were calling for rain, was the forecast. Mm.
That's right.
Take a lot of rain.
Because it was 33 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right on the cusp there. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So then the temperature dropped. Really the day of the march is when it became clear that it was going to get pretty snowy and icy. So we talked it over with the kids. Not a single person in the group wanted to leave before the march. And it hadn't begun snowing then anyway.
Right.
But it was really special to be a part of it even at that point, because many dioceses and groups just didn't come. And it was a much smaller march than usual because of the weather.
There were buses that came to D.C. and turned around.
Mm. Knowing that the weather's going to get bad.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I know the kids that I knew who went on it were disappointed sort of in advance, knowing that it's going to be a smaller march.
Mm-hmm. It was small.
And that was part of the difficult thing, was the kids seeing the small numbers, especially kids who had been to the march before.
Right.
It doesn't compare to other years that we've been. And we had to head back to Minnesota immediately after the march. And we weren't going to go to the Students for Life of America conference, which they were upset about. Mm-hmm. That ended up being canceled anyway, so it was a moot point. They were disappointed about the small numbers. They were more disappointed when we got stuck on the Pennsylvania Turnpike in the middle of the Allegheny Mountains. But they were less disappointed when Bill and his family took over from the first bus. I'll let him go from there.
Bill, you got to brag on yourself. And if you don't, I will.
No, I'll be real clear. It was actually Jack Dorsey, to be honest. But several of us went for a walk that morning to find water, because the buses, we were low on water. And that was our only real concern. We had plenty of fuel. And snow doesn't convert to water very easily. So we went for a walk, and we ran into all these other buses that were at the March for Life, Catholic buses, great people. It was a great Catholic fellowship on the highway on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And when we got back to our bus, Jack said, "Hey, can we do Mass?" I said, "Well, we're kind of missing a priest, but we just met, you know, 10 other buses, and they have priests." So it was Jack, and from there it immediately exploded.
And there was a line someplace along the line, say, "Build the altar."
Build, yeah. I said to people on my bus, my kids and others, I said, "Can you, there's a big snow mound out there that one of the snow shovels had left. Do you think you guys can make an altar out of that?" And of course, they just fell to it. And they said, "Yeah, we can do that." And then a priest came by and said, "No, it's got to be bigger." So they built on, and it was a nice, fairly good size snow altar, and to my knowledge, it was the first of its kind.
And of the 100 buses stuck on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, leave it to the Minnesotans to make an altar out of snow, right?
Right.
Yeah. If there were someone from California or maybe Texas or something, they would not have known what to do.
Oh, terrified. No,
just panic.
And watching the streams of pilgrims walk down the turnpike to come to Mass.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And seeing 7, 8, 9 priests actually there to can celebrate the Mass.
Wow.
That was amazing.
I bet for the priests that would be a highlight of the Masses they've celebrated. They'll never forget that Mass.
No kidding.
Yeah. No one there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, to see Pat out there playing guitar in 25 degrees and leading worship
first
on the side of the highway.
Yeah. No, it was beautiful. That was one of my favorite memories, but there's a video that's still, I think, on YouTube and Facebook of the group during communion at the Mass, and we were singing "Lord, I Need You," and it's just this beautiful, haunting kind of sound. Just 800 people in the wide open snow. It was beautiful. It was amazing.
And
yeah.
What I love now, there's did you say hundreds of buses from the march there stuck?
It was over, maybe 8 to 10 miles.
Miles.
was the total backup. Yeah.
Wow.
So there were literally more than 100 buses all from the march, and basically all Catholic. Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. And then I thought you said earlier that the truckers were also stuck. And did any of the truckers come to Mass or anything like that?
Several were invited. We were busy inviting and setting up, and not so much busy in seeing who actually attended.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Just the invitation. Jesus will take care of the rest.
But the truckers definitely saw us there. And
well, I had one student who was stuck with you, Bill, is she was on your bus, and she talked about communion that day. Help me out. Color in this picture.
I forgot about that. So we didn't have any hosts. We had a handful of them, and we had asked other buses as we were going, walking up and down, inviting if they had any hosts. And somebody said, "Oh, sure, we have some." And we were hoping they were going to give us one of those packs of 100, mm-hmm. you know, that we carry in the churches. And they gave us a handful.
Mm.
And we said, "Okay." And we took it back to our bus. And the priest chose to break them up ahead of time because of the crumbs and Jesus and respect. So they broke up the host. So we don't really know how many we started with.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw more than 40 or 50 hosts at the most. And people were coming to communion. We were worried. When we told them, not everyone's going to get to receive. Mm-hmm. And people were okay with that,
yeah.
obviously. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's going to get to receive. But people kept coming forward, and there was enough hosts, and there was enough hosts, and they're just about to run out. And the last person came forward, and they got to receive. And then we realized that we made it. Wow. And they were just about to wash out the ciborium. And somebody came up and said, "Oh, I didn't get to go to communion. Is there anything left?" And the priest had poured water in, and said, "Well, you can drink this, and there's right. the crumbs of the Eucharist there." And that was the last man. So every person who came forward received communion.
It's so incredible.
Yeah.
And and then this march that was a disappointment for the kids, that was smaller, and that the media didn't pay attention to, not that they ever want to pay attention to it.
Right.
But then suddenly we see this mass as someone sitting at home. I'm looking on the TV thinking, What on earth is going on the side of the road there with all those buses?
That was one of the things that was really amazing because, you know, the kids were already disappointed that the march was small. They were disappointed that we had to leave early. Mm-hmm. They were disappointed mm-hmm. we couldn't go to the conference. They were certainly disappointed that we were stuck on the side of a highway yeah. for, you know, 18 hours at that point with no big meals or any of that stuff.
No food.
Yeah. It was fasting. It was yeah. forced fasting, which we were glad to participate in, but
course,
it was a
happy.
Surprise. So they were disappointed, you know, and it was only after the mass happened that a lot of it started to get picked up on social media. Every major network was covering it all of a sudden. And they started, I mean, I was on our bus and I was saying to the kids through the microphone, Mashable is a kind of a Twitter news feed. They have multi-million followers.
Right.
And they had retweeted a news story about the snowmass. And it was only then that the kids started to kind of think like, there's a meaning to this. Like there's a plan for this. And it's so rare that they or any of us, I think, get to see such an immediate fruit of suffering. And it
yes.
was it was just a great grace for them.
And good out of evil.
Yeah.
You know, that
yeah.
we know that God brings good out of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
just watching him with his paintbrush paint this out. Was just amazing to sit and watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, who would think of that? No, you would. It was remarkable.
And even when we held the mass, we didn't hold the mass for the media.
No.
Right.
We held the mass because we're Catholics on the side of the road. What do? We have mass.
That's not what they mean by mass media.
That's great. Yeah, it is this time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it was a remarkable thing, and I was just cheering when I'm watching it on the news and thinking, yeah, look at that. We got the attention and that this miracle is happening. Well, let's talk about the kids that you take. You've been taking, how long have you been taking kids to the march?
That's a bit of a tough question. We took young adults back in 2008 and 2009, college students, if I have my years correct. And then we began taking high school students in 2010, if I'm correct. So several years.
This will be my 7th or 8th March total. I used to work at a parish in Indiana before I moved to Minnesota. So we went to 3 marches there and then our, whatever it is, 4th or 5th now here at St. Michael.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And again, as I was sort of speaking, when I was speaking with Hannah, she said she got on the bus because she wanted to go to D.C. I love the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Yep.
We'll take her.
And so what are the miracles you've seen in the kids when they've got on the bus and one sort of mindset and they get off at the bus in a different one.
Yeah, and they come, they may not know exactly why they're coming, but they definitely come with great attitudes and open hearts. And we have, it's a long bus ride, but we have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a culture of life event. We're not just going to the March for Life. We're not just going to make abortion illegal. That is a very minimalistic idea. We're really fostering a culture of life. And that happens from the beginning. We start with Mass. We get on the bus. We don't do movie marathons on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
We talk to each other because people are so wonderful.
Mm.
People have such depth to them. We don't need videos all the way to D.C. to entertain ourselves. We have people. We have 45 people.
Mm-hmm.
And the fellowship is so rich. Pat does a great job and other musicians leading music. So there's a lot of singing that goes on on the buses. And that's a great, great time. There's games. There's all kinds of things. But one of the things that begins happening right away, the introductions of people, the fellowship, the getting to know people from other schools. And then we start with education. The the three-legged stool for this trip is prayer, education, and action. And what we've learned from people is they've said, I came on the trip and I knew I was pro-life, but I wasn't exactly sure why. And by the end of the trip, they can talk to somebody about it. Between the curriculum on the bus ride, between the Students for Life conference, which has amazing speakers, really inspiring speakers that can really articulate the pro-life message clearly. And then we practice on the way home. You know, we practice arguing. I use that word in quotes, arguing.
Yeah. In the true sense.
Yeah, in the real sense.
I should be more careful. Conversating about the abortion issue. How can you talk about it with people? And the primary aspect of talking about it with people, of course, is listening.
Yes.
Caring with great love for the person that we're talking to. Because if we're not loving the person we're talking to, we need to be quiet.
One of the great things that Bill and the Archdiocese does in putting this trip together is it's as much of a retreat as it is any kind of a political statement. And like Bill was saying, I mean, the politics come second, if that. You know, that this is a an experience of the Holy Spirit at first and foremost, and then that informs our actions and our beliefs and our morals. So the trip is full of lots of great action and pro-life discussion information, but it's full of Mass and adoration and confession. The sacraments are a major part of the experience. So from the first group that we ever brought from St. Mike's, even kids who have been Catholic their whole lives and kids who were not distant from the church. I mean, they went to Mass on Sundays with their families. They were involved. They even enjoyed being at, you know, confirmation nights, things like that. A lot of them had major conversions. And it's continued like that year after year, too. Just really getting the true sense of what it means to be pro-life in connecting with the author of life, you know?
I love it. This is fantastic. We're at a good spot here. So we're going to come back and talk more about this year and then future years. We'll be right back on the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Caroline Metzinger.
And I'm Nathan Metzinger. And we want to cordially invite you to the annual Chesterton Academy Gala to benefit the students of Chesterton Academy.
We had the opportunity to attend the gala 4 years ago, and we had a blast and have been every year since.
This year, the gala is on Friday, January 27th at the Hilton Minneapolis with Chesterton Academy co-founder Dale Alquist as our Master of Ceremonies.
There'll be some dancing, some singing, great food, a fabulous silent auction, and...
And?
And maybe a few surprises.
I love surprises. So join us for a fabulous night out to support our amazing Joyfully Catholic Classical High School.
You can buy your tickets today at chestertonacademy.org or call 952-378-1779.
That's 952-378-1779 or visit us at chestertonacademy.org. And we will see you on January 27th.
You can buy your tickets today at chestertonacademy.org. See you there.
Hi, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm your guest host, Alyssa Bormis. I'm so grateful to be here today. We're having a whole show on the March for Life this year, 2017, although we have been talking about the March for Life from last year. I'm speaking with Pat Millay and Bill Dill, They are both, you're taking kids to the March for Life. I know that this year your buses are full, but just what plans this year, and then maybe we'll talk about how we can get our kids involved next year if they're not on the bus this year.
You know, when we're in D.C. and we are in the mall, which is not a shopping mall.
Right.
And in front of the Supreme Court, and you look out at the sea of people, it's young people. It's at least 90% high school students and college students.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
And it is. These young people, they are clearly pro-life. And they clearly are willing. They know their faith, and they're willing to do something. It's beautiful. They're making a gift of their lives. Mm-hmm. They're not just looking out for themselves. And the young people today, and it's a great honor for Pat and I both to work with our young people. People who have such great attitudes, who have such great faith, who have a relationship with Christ, and are willing to sacrifice. And it is a great sacrifice for many of these young people to go to D.C. Mm-hmm. It's not easy for many of them.
Right.
But they do because they want to make a difference. And they care about our culture and our country, and they care about the moms, the babies, etc. And they're willing to be there. So the young people are clearly picking up this baton, and there's a phenomenal momentum going right now. Several years ago, the 3D ultrasound
right.
made it very clear. Mm-hmm. DNA science right now, there's no question that it's a human person.
Right.
And there's no debate right. about that anymore. And then things like the Center for Medical Progress and the videos last year and what happened. And Brian Gibson noted the amazing decline in abortions right. during that time period when those videos were coming out. Mm-hmm. The momentum is definitely going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of hope. And not just, as Pat said, not just politically, but in the hearts of our people that we're really able to embrace the dignity of life. And again, from conception to natural death.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking of when you mentioned the 3D ultrasounds, my first picture that was ever taken of me was my mother's holding me in her arms.
Mm.
But if you ask the youth now, what was the first picture of you? They all have ultrasound pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And now some will be having 3D ultrasound
yeah.
pictures
mm-hmm.
that they saw that they were a person then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
There's no question.
Yeah. And then now we're talking about someone their same age as their first picture.
And it's so great that science has a way of catching up with faith, right? I mean, and it's true. I mean, forever, the church has always said that we have original parents, right? So
right.
Whatever scientifically Adam and Eve were, there was a mom and a dad, and those were our original parents.
Right.
And then whatever it was, 15, 20 years ago, the Human Genome Project comes out and finds out, shocker, we have original parents. What do you know? And it's the same with the pro-life movement. I mean, we've said forever that life begins at conception, and the science now is coming to agree with us, which is really brilliant. And it's a great support for high schoolers who I think are oftentimes put in a position where they feel like they have to choose an either or, right?
Yeah, right.
Like they feel like they have to be scientific, they have to be intelligent, they have to be kind of informed, or they have to be religious, which the culture tells them is being... just ignore what you see, take it on faith alone, mm-hmm. The idea of ignoring reality, and faith has never been that. I mean, it's always a both and.
A both and.
So it's a beautiful thing that the science is now supporting exactly what we've always believed.
It's so cool. So you take these kids, and have you seen now maybe a kid from the first few years besides Hannah Hockman, but have you seen the fruits come back?
Maddie Schulte is another great story. She came every year during high school. She now works for Students for Life, and she is a dynamo for the pro-life movement. Beautiful faith, beautiful inspiration, and she's working down in the southern area of Minnesota and Wisconsin mm-hmm. at the colleges in promoting life. Sam Hovick from St. Mike's. Anybody else come to mind?
Yeah, gosh. Well, I'm just thinking that from the first year that we brought kids from Prior Lake back in, I want to say 2010, maybe 2011, the first year that they went, this large group of kids had a really great conversion
yeah.
of faith, but then really activation in their pro-life beliefs too. So they came back, and much like Hannah, they started the first pro-life club at a public high school in Minnesota, wow. down at Prior Lake High School.
Great.
And amazing fruits came of that. And then soon after that, actually, there was a young woman at Prior Lake who became pregnant. And so they were forced with this really interesting choice, if you want to call it that, of saying, how pro-life are we going to be, really?
Right.
I mean, is it going to be a verbal thing? Is it going to be a thing where we get together and we share really good information and then we kind of go our separate ways?
Right.
Or is it going to be a thing where we really embrace people in the midst of difficulty and
right.
suffering? Because this girl, like any other, you know, pregnant teenager in the U.S. is just ostracized, total
yeah,
outcast.
Embarrassed,
you know?
Outcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they really rallied around her. They became friends with her. They would sit with her at lunches when no one else would.
Cool.
And that child was born, lives with an adopted family now, just a beautiful story. And there's, like Bill said, I mean, there's dozens, if not hundreds of kids from the marches here at the Archdiocese who are now at college campuses, high schools, doing things just like that.
It's so cool. I'm thinking that other things in their lives are changing too, not just the deepening or maybe the first glimpses of their pro-life idea, but I'm guessing these trips help with things like chastity.
Mm.
And that you're talking about the sacraments and that confession is all a part of it. I'm thinking that you're seeing great changes in the kids in their own life.
It has to be the whole picture. And that's why we have time on the event. We have the adoration available for the kids.
Right.
So they can go in the midst of this busy trip and have quiet time before the Blessed Sacrament. And that's just available. And it's amazing how many people will go in before the Blessed Sacrament. The kids will get up early when they're tired from everything and fill the adoration chapel or pray rosaries. And that really is it. It's forming us as Catholics. It's about the prayer. It's about the fellowship. It's about giving our life away. And it's about the amazing things that Christ does in our hearts. And when Christ is alive in our hearts, it motivates us to love.
Amen.
And Pat's story about the way those kids loved is, I think, a great example of what's happening with our young people.
Mm-hmm. The adoration with the kids, I think it's a great lesson. And the adults need to hear this and maybe see it for themselves. The teenagers love adoration.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They love it.
Yeah. This is a bit of an aside, I suppose, but at St. Mike's, one of our girls who was in college age at the time, she graduated from our program. She served a year with Net Ministries, so she was a missionary for a year. She had this idea. We have adoration at the parish 3 days a week, and she had this idea that we take one of the hours and we have a teen adoration hour. And anyone can come, obviously, anytime.
Right.
But I'll do some praise and worship music. We'll involve some other kind of elements to it. And since we've started that teen adoration hour, the ministry at the parish has burgeoned. We bring 80 kids on a mission trip every year, and we have a waiting list of another 40 or 50 that can't come. That was the year we started going on the March for Life, and Lakers for Life came out of that. We have right now a young man who's entering minor seminary at St. John Vianney and a young woman who's a postulant with the Nashville Dominicans. And both of them came out of that kind of post-adoration time. The graces are just undeniable.
I agree. I'm constantly blown away when I will have an adoration or something, let's say, at Chesterton. And I think, well, you know, that'll be nice for me because I'll get to go there quietly. And there's all these kids in there, mm-hmm. and I'm afraid that they're going to lift the roof off the place and, you know, we'll be in trouble with the landlords. They're amazing. Well, I want to know also, I love this that you also said vocations coming from mm-hmm. adoration, but I'm thinking from the trip too, you've probably seen some really rich vocations come from this.
Certainly. I many people have pursued the seminary religious life coming out. It gives people a purpose. It helps us realize that we can make a difference.
Yeah.
And we may not make a difference changing the whole country at once. But, you know, it's really true. One life, one heart.
One life at a time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next year, I know your buses are full for this year, but how do I get my kids on that bus next year?
We'll be beginning the discussion in October. Our registration, I should say, begins in October. We do have a dream in the Archdiocese. Bishop Cousins has asked us to bring more and more.
Mm.
So we'll be happy to invite people to come with us.
we can always get more buses.
There you go. Minnesota Coaches is fantastic.
Absolutely. And, yep. Just get that 12-bus caravan headed out east. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. Yep.
It's a lot. You can do that, right?
In charge of what? 600 people? You can do it.
Come on, Bill. You'll do it.
You know, it's actually part of it, I should say, is we have a great team of people. I love working with the team. The people who go every year, again, people like Jack Dorsey and Eric Duffy from Epiphany and others. It's a great community. And it's these people who all work together, Lexi down with Pat, that really make the trip doable. It's amazing the leadership we have.
We're in our last minute here with the two of you. And is there just something that you've, just one moment that you've had over these years that you think, I'm so grateful I could live that moment?
For me, it's hearing the stories of Hannah and Maddie and others who are transformed, who let themselves be transformed by this trip. And their hearts and lives are not the same. Pat?
I always go back to just some of the moments in adoration and at Mass in just a, it sounds bad, but in a really ugly hotel conference room. You know, like, this is not the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception that we go to Mass there too, but just really intimate, beautiful, prayerful experiences that have changed hearts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's great. Thank you for your work. I've been speaking with Pat Millay and Bill Dill. They are ready to go for the March for Life 2017 in Washington, D.C., and they'll be happy to take your kids next year as well. So October is the time. All right, we will be right back on the Rediscover Hour.
Oh, no, we're right here.
Oh, we're right here. This is the great joy of being the guest host. I always mess up something.
This is the time to take a look at what's coming up around the Archdiocese.
Fantastic.
Well, you can be part of the new evangelization in our Archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to Theology on Tap series presented by the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith at O'Gara's in St. Paul on Wednesday, January 18th. Social hours from 6:30 to 7:30, and the speaker begins at 7:30 p.m. On January 18th, come to hear local Catholic musician Luke
Spihar.
Spihar, thank you. Present The Musician's Inspiration. For more information, visit www.cathedralstpaul.org/CYA.
Maternity of Mary Parish in St. Paul will host the 15th annual pro-life presentation and Italian dinner, Saturday, January 21st. Jean Stolpestad, director of the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, will speak on the end of life from a Catholic perspective under the title All Life is Beautiful. Presentation begins after 4:30 p.m. Mass, dinner at 6 p.m. Make reservations by Tuesday, January 17th. Cost is $15 per person for those ages 13 and up, $5 for ages 4 to 12. Those 3 and under are free. For more information, visit maternityofmarychurch.org or call the parish office, 651-489-8825.
Men who are seniors in high school up to the age of 50 and who are interested in the priesthood are invited to the Men's Discernment Retreat with Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo. The retreat begins at 6:30 p.m. on Friday, January 20th, and goes until noon on Sunday, January 22nd. Communal and private prayer, adoration, Mass, and presentations by Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins are designed to help participants discern the future of their vocation. Register online by January 19th at www.1000vocations.org.
I think it's actually 10,000 vocations.
Ah.
It doesn't say that.
A typo.
Yeah. The Transfiguration Council of Catholic Women invites you to attend a special women's morning retreat with Father Bill Baer, Father Randall Kazel, and renowned Catholic speaker Nancy Jo Sullivan. Saturday, January 28th. Retreat theme is Be Still and Know That I Am God. The morning begins with Mass at 8 a.m. Confession will be offered with several vendor booths and time for personal prayer. Continental breakfast and lunch are included in the price of $15 per person. Go to transfigurationmn.org for more information and a link to purchase tickets. Other questions? Contact the parish office, 651-738-2646.
Lectio Divina is Latin for divine reading, meaning to pray with scripture. By stilling your soul and opening up to the Holy Spirit, you will find that reading, meditation, prayer, and contemplation, the four steps of Lectio Divina, will open your heart to receive the truths that Jesus wants to show you. The Office of Evangelization and Catechesis invites you to a Lectio Divina workshop with Father Jonathan Kelly at Good Shepherd Catholic Church in Golden Valley. The workshop runs from 6:30 to 8 on Tuesday, January 31st. A light dinner will be served and a free will offering accepted. Register at archspm.org/intentional prayer.
And what is coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour? You've got it there somewhere, I know. You don't? Okay, well, I can tell.
We'll
discuss the voice of public policy for the Catholic Church in Minnesota. The Minnesota bishops invite Catholics to protect life and human dignity by attending Catholics at the Capitol this coming March in St. Paul. Learn more about this. We'll hear from Jonathan Liddle, the communications manager with the Minnesota Catholic Conference. We'll see you next week.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.